This morning I am going to focus on Genesis chapter 37, the continuation of our journey through Joseph. We're walking on this journey all the way till about October 21st, when we'll end with Genesis chapter 50. Our topic today is stress. How are you feeling today about that? Do you have stress? If I were to ask about stress here with everyone in the congregation, I think everyone would raise their hand, including myself. We all have stress, yeah? This week, I gave myself a project. And my project was to look for stress, not in any of our members, but in people that I encountered out in the community and on my travels. And I want to share with you some of the things that I saw. It was mind-boggling, actually. In the hospital on Tuesday, I walked in, and there in the lobby, there was a lady there, kind of moving her leg like this, kind of stressed out. And I watched her, and it looked like she was forcing jigsaw puzzle pieces into this puzzle that she was doing. And she was nervously looking on this computer screen to see, I think, if her loved one was out of surgery. You know how that goes. I saw stress. Friday, at the supermarket, I saw John at this moment. I don't know if you noticed this. John Leach, good to see you here today. You were in the hospital on Monday. But on Friday, I saw John. We were in line at the supermarket. There I was, and there was a person in front of in front of me, and then there was a person, and then John was in front of that person in line. That person in front of us moved to a different line because our line was so slow. John had so many groceries. Man, he's that guy. They moved to the other line at the supermarket, and then after some time passed, I don't know if you noticed this, John, but they moved back to our line because that line wasn't going very fast, and there was an eye roll by the person. They were stressed out. They needed to get somewhere. It was really important. Again, Friday afternoon, I was out on Philomath Boulevard, and there was traffic. Have you noticed the traffic has picked up in our community? Yeah. And the traffic was stopped all the way from right here all the way to 53rd, believe it or not. The person in front of me, I will not say if it was a male or female, the person in front of me thought that they were just more important than everyone else, I guess, or they were stressed out because, you see, they went on the shoulder of the road where people are walking and bicyclists, and they went a couple of blocks and then turned off and went their way. Stress. Stress played a factor, I'm pretty sure. So I notice it. I think all of you notice stress as a factor. Every person in this community sees it. And we all respond to it differently. We handle stress in our life differently. Some people, do you kick the dog? I hope not. Do you punch the wall in your home? Do you scream to the top of your lungs? Do you do something violent? Do you act impulsive when you're stressed out? Does the vein stick out on your head? Is my vein sticking out this morning? Consider the stress of Joseph this morning. Brad read, it was a bad day. Thanks for that, Brad. It was a horrible day for Joseph. I think that's what he was getting at. We hear in this text, as Brad read, that his brothers, those who are supposed to take care of him, suddenly decided, yeah, let's not kill him. You know, we can at least get some supplies and hamburgers for the way. Let's just sell him for 20 shekels. We can at least get something out of it. What a horrible day. Scholars will point out this. Well, I don't know if they're scholars, but they'll say this, the journey from Dothan, that's the city Joseph was in a pit, all the way down to Midian or Egypt where he was traded, that would have been a 30 to 40 day journey, being tied up to a camel walking down. That's physical stress. Egypt, the place that Joseph was going to, was New York City. They had a style, they had a way of doing things. This was a big empire, the biggest kingdom in the world. Joseph, he's from Monroe. He's a rural guy. And he's a nomad. Egypt, they speak a language. You know, they have a certain way of doing things. Joseph speaks the language of his ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, in Egypt, what matters are connections, you know, being connected to Potiphar or these other characters that we're going to read about down the road. Joseph's connection is to this guy named Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Nobody cared about Abraham. I don't care that you're the great-grandson of Abraham. Who cares? Joseph had every stress marker you can imagine. Sold into slavery, ripped away from his family, had everything lost. How do you handle stress? There's a lot of stress there. You know, typically what we do when we have stress is we do act very impulsively. We make rash decisions and do something right on the spot. That's what the lady did in the supermarket, jumping to another lane or driving the car into the shoulder of the road to get where you need to go. Now, the Bible doesn't play this out, but Joseph does not act impulsively in a stressful situation. Doesn't say anything about him doing some rash decision and running away. You know what we also do when we're really stressed out? And again, I'm speaking for myself, not for any of you. What we tend to do is we let our short-term stressful situation, our bad day as Brad described it, we let that determine our long-term future. When I was playing sports, when I was much younger, I still play. I probably still do this all the time. I put really high expectations on myself, on how I would play, and how the game would go. And you see, when I played one game and it didn't turn out well, it crushed me. And I'd say things like this: the whole season is ruined. It's never going to get any better. I'm never going to play very well. My parents know nothing about sports at all. I don't know how I got matched up with my parents. It's crazy. They know nothing about sports. They'd come up to me and say, it was just a game, Jeremy. My goodness, get over it. That made it worse. It's going to ruin me. See, we take short-term stress and we project it all the way, that it's always going to be this way. I failed the test, or I didn't do well in my ACTs. I'm ruined for the rest of my life. Oh, we had that argument. There's no way that reconciliation can come. The future's over for us. Now, the biblical account doesn't say much about this, but I think this is a safe way to assume this is the way Joseph operates. Joseph does not allow a very stressful situation to determine his future and the long-term goal that had for Joseph. Now, we're not going to get into it today, but next week we're going to take a look at Genesis 39, and we're going to hear about how Joseph handles his stress down in Egypt. In just a few verses, I'd love to pull it out, but we don't have a lot of time here this morning. The text says Joseph is sold into Potiphar's family. This is the head of the secret service, by the way, in Egypt. And Joseph is put in charge of Potiphar's house. And the text says Joseph is a success. This is the biggest turnaround in a couple of months, maybe in the entire Bible. A guy sold into slavery, then goes to the great empire, to the head of the secret service, and is ahead of his household in a matter of months. And he's a success. How did he do it? How did he handle all that stress? What yoga moves did he do? What exercises did he do? What book did he write so that we can read it too and we can figure out ways to handle our stress? I'm going to give you the words of Genesis 39. Here's the stress relief. The Lord was with Joseph. That phrase occurs four times in the first six verses of chapter 39. That's the stress relief for Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. He didn't get an advanced degree. He didn't do yoga. I'm not against yoga, but he didn't do yoga stretches. He recognized that God's presence was there with him in Egypt. That's it. That's the strategy. Friends, as we live our lives, the best thing that we can do is to be open to the presence of the Lord in our life. And that is an excellent stress relief and strategy. We need to be sponges for the Lord's presence. Wherever His presence is, we're sponges and we take it in. What is the difference between a sponge and a rock? Being a sponge for God's presence and a rock for God's presence. Think about it this way. If I were to throw a rock into the Pacific Ocean, right? Throw it out there, and after 3 weeks, go down, let it fall down, and pick it up somehow, and bring it back onto the beach, and open it up, put some stress on that rock. What would come out of that rock when I split it in half? Would water come out? No. No water, because a rock doesn't absorb any water. It'd be the same as it was when I threw it in. Now, if I were to do the same thing with a sponge and throw it into the Pacific Ocean and let it sit there for 3 weeks, and after 3 weeks then go pick it up and bring it back onto the beach and apply stress to it, twist that sponge or cut it in half, would water come out? A ton of water would come out. That's how we handle stress. When we're actually doing well and life's going well, maybe the most important thing is to absorb God's presence in our life. That's actually what we're doing at Peace. We come to church each Sunday to hear God's word. Let it have root in our heart. We receive the body and blood of Jesus. In the Lutheran church, we actually call that real presence, the real presence of the Lord. We meet in fellowship with one another. And the Bible says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, my presence is there. And when you do that, you see, you're absorbing the presence of the Lord. Then when stress comes in your life and you're cut in half, what squeezes out of you is not rage or I got to get in that other line or a bad word, but what comes out is sweetness. You become like Joseph, don't you? Some of you might be saying this morning, Jeremy, we live in the 21st century. Come on. You get some yoga moves in your life. You wouldn't want to see that. That'd be scary. I'm not flexible at all. Talk to my wife. She's better at that. Get something better than God's presence. Friends, that's all I got as a pastor. That's all I got. That's all I can give you. All I can do, I don't have the presence. I'm just a vessel. God's called me here to be a vessel to pass that on to you. But I believe this. It's enough. It's enough for you. Joseph, when he went down to Egypt, it's all he had. That's it. Didn't have a reputation, didn't have a family. The Lord was with Joseph. It was enough. Moses, think about Moses in the book of Exodus as he's taking the Israelites up into the promised land. This conversation with Moses and the Lord. You know what happens? God says, what do you need from me, Moses? Do you want an army like the Egyptians? Do you want some tanks? Do you want this sort of thing, some chariots? Would you like some leadership? You know what Moses says? Moses says, I will not go on this journey except one thing. Would you please walk before us? God's presence. That's all Moses had. You know, when David sins with Bathsheba, God has this kind of, I think God has this conversation with David and says, because you did this, David, there's going to be consequences and things are going to be taken away from you. And you know what David says to the Lord? It's recorded in Psalm 51, my friends. David says this, take away my family, take away my reputation, take away the crown on top of my head. But you know this, the Lutheran liturgy says it well. Cast me not away from what? Thy presence. Presence. That's the one thing that'll get us through life and stress and our moments in Egypt. And you know, I learned it as a pastor from you. And I wanted to share something with you this morning. I had an encounter with someone this week that shared with me that their life is changing and their ability to be mobile and do different things in their life is forever going to be changed. And when I heard those words from this person, I got stressed. It stressed me out. As a pastor, I get stressed out when I hear that. And you know what I do in my stress response, I'm a sinner, is to try to fix. It's to try to go and bring in something that'll fix the problem. So the way I responded was this. I said to the person, I said, well, how can I help in some way? And could I bring some meals? Could we figure out a plan where someone could be by your side? And the person stopped me and said very calmly, Pastor, stop. I need one thing from you. Would you please bring me the body and blood of Jesus when you can? And can you have the congregation pray for me? See, that's Joseph. That's a Joseph. That person has every stress that you can imagine, but is calm. Is so calm. And here's the pastor. He's stressed out. He's stressed out and has nothing to be stressed out about. And here's this person that has all the reasons to be stressed out and is completely calm. That, my friends, is a Joseph. And we have tons of them here in this congregation. Lots of Josephs. We all have stress. There's nothing sinful with stress. But what we want to watch out for is when stress becomes overwhelming and we get stressed out. The best thing we can do is follow Joseph's strategy and be overwhelmed instead by God's love and his presence. That's why Joseph was a success in Egypt. It's why everyone in this congregation is a success. God's presence is with us. Amen. And we're going to share a special song about that. It talks about how God's presence is really all that is needed. And the song is, You Are My All in All.